today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
You can imagine everything we know and we see will be made brand new. One of my favorite verses is Paul to the Corinthians when he said, everything that is seen is temporal. That means everything you see is going to be gone one day. Only that which is not seen is eternal. So we're going to be living in eternity where time shall be no more, but it'll all be made brand new.
For believers on earth, it's clear that this world is not your home. It's foreign and not what you were designed for. However, the beautiful truth Pastor John explains today is that Jesus is currently and actively preparing your eternal home in heaven. He's so personal. He's preparing it for you and preparing you for it. You get to be with Him forever. And it will be so glorious and amazing that it's beyond explanation or understanding. You need not be afraid. Jesus is creating a beautiful, eternal state for you. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Revelation chapter 21 as he begins his message, The New Heaven and New Earth.
I can't help but go back to John 14 for my opening statements. When Jesus with his disciples in the upper room said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. And then he made this statement, in my Father's house, catch that phrase, my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That Father's house is the place he was going to be going to prepare. And if I go to prepare it, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As children of God, this world is not our home. Our real home is our eternal home in heaven, the Father's house. When Jesus in John 14 said, don't be troubled, don't be afraid, I'm preparing a place for you. He called it the Father's house. We know it as heaven. It's the true home of every child of God who has God as their father. Now, the Father's house is a place. Father's house is a real place. And the Father's house is a prepared place. I love the thought that Jesus is preparing a place for me. He's preparing me for the place, and he's preparing a place for me. So we come in our study to the end of time, to the time when time will be no more. Literally, the subtitle of my series has been The End of Time, How Will It Unfold? We actually come to the end of time, when we will have no longer any time. You know, you're not going to have a watch in heaven. You're not going to have to look at a calendar in heaven. You're not going to have to look at the time clock in heaven, because time will be no more in the Father's house. Now, I want to review before we jump into our passage what we've covered in this whole series. And I want to review where we've been and show you how it comes to this grand conclusion. So we saw that, first of all, we have the church age. After the death of Jesus Christ, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the believers were formed into, baptized into Christ, and became one living body. The church is a living organism with Christ as our head. We're all knit together with him. Well, at the end of the church age, I believe the church will be raptured. John 14, 1 Corinthians 15, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the church, the true believers who are in Christ, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Then the second thing we looked at and saw unfold was the Antichrist will be revealed. Revelation chapter 6. This man of sin, this son of perdition, this little horn, this mouth speaking great things, that the church is taken out of the world, and the Antichrist is then revealed. And then thirdly, he will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. We saw that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 27, and that it is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, known as the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, and we call it the tribulation. And then the fourth step would be the second coming. that Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation, 7 years, 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, and then the second coming of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 19. This is the second advent of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, as the lightning shines from the east even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we looked at that together. And then fifthly, we saw the millennium. It's called the kingdom age. It's recorded for us in Revelation chapter 20. When Jesus comes back in the second coming, he destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet, puts an end to war. Then he takes Satan, Revelation 20, and binds him for 1,000 years. Six times we see the term 1,000 years or millennium as Christ comes back. Then he resurrects the Old Testament saints. And then at the end of the millennium, Satan is loosed for a short season, tempts people during that time that are still in their mortal bodies, and many of them deceived and follow Satan. Then he destroys Satan and those that are following him. He sits on a great white throne, the end of Revelation 20, and he judges the wicked dead who are resurrected and stand before his great white throne. But it moves from the kingdom, or from the kingdom age, to the new heaven and the new earth. So right after he judges on his great white throne, then he brings in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this is not the same as the millennium. The millennium is 1,000 years of Christ's theocratic reign on the earth. And yes, it will be a time of peace and prosperity and plenty and blessing, but it's going to be the same earth just revived. But in the eternal state, we actually have a new heaven and a new earth, which is what we know as the Father's house or heaven. So now we come to the eternal state, when we call the place we call heaven. And the text is Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Now, I want to call your attention to something. It's, I think, sequential and chronological. Revelation chapter 19, Christ returns in his second coming. Revelation chapter 20 is the millennial reign of Christ. Revelation 21 and the first part, first five verses of 22, is the new heaven and new earth, or description of the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and earth, or the eternal state. And I believe that those chapters are in sequential order, that Christ returns and that he ushers in the millennium, and then we have the new heaven and the new earth, or the eternal state. Now, the key in Revelation 21 is verse 5. Behold, I make all things new. And I believe that Jesus is speaking there. And basically what we're looking forward to is when God makes everything brand new. We like new, don't we like new? Like the smell of a new car. It's so amazing to sit in a new car, smell a new car. I want to buy it just because it smells so awesome. But you can imagine everything we know and we see will be made brand new. One of my favorite verses is Paul to the Corinthians when he said, everything that is seen is temporal. That means everything you see is going to be gone one day. Only that which is not seen is eternal. So we're going to be living in eternity where time shall be no more, but it'll all be made brand new. And that brand new focuses on two things, a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1 of Revelation 21, and a new city, the new Jerusalem, verse 2. But the focus is not so much the new heaven and new earth as it is the focus of the new Jerusalem. Now, I want to break this into sections if you're taking notes. I want to first look at the descent of the city. Heaven's going to be described as a city called the New Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb coming down out of heaven. And in verse 1 to 8, we have the descent of the city. Look at verses 1 and 2 as it opens up. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, I have to confess that at that statement, I get a little bit freaked out. I love the ocean, love to surf, but the idea that there'll be no sea in heaven, is okay with me because there's no seat in hell either, so I don't really have much of an option. But I'm sure whatever we have up there, it will be awesome. Some Bible scholars believe that that statement, no more sea, technically means that everything will be different. We know ocean right now, and most of the earth's surface is covered by water, so everything will be different. It won't be the same. And then notice verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I want to stop right there for just a moment as this descent of the city comes down from heaven. Notice, first of all, in verse 1, John saw a new heaven. The word new there is an interesting Greek word, which means a new and of a new kind. So it's a new kind, a new quality, so to speak. So it's going to be a spiritual heavens, and it's going to be a spiritual earth. It's not anywhere like or related to the old heaven or the old earth. For the first heaven, notice verse 1, and the first earth were passed away and no more seas. Now think about that. The first heaven and the first earth, all of the stars, all of the galaxies, the billions of galaxies, trillions of stars, the entire cosmos, the entire universe is going to pass away. Now, there's a lot of talk about the world waxing old and the environmentalists saying that we're going to destroy the earth and it's going to cease to be in global warming and all the stuff that's going on. But the truth is, God's got a plan to get rid of this present world. Now, how will God do that? Well, Peter tells us in his second epistle, chapter 3, that during the time of Noah, remember, God destroyed the whole earth with a flood. But then he made a promise by giving them a rainbow, saying, I won't do that again. But he never promised he won't burn it up. So he doesn't do it by flood, but he's going to do it by fire. And Peter says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. All God really needs to do is release his hold on the atoms of the universe, and the entire universe will explode in one giant explosion. Some people think we started with a bang, and we're going to go out with a bang, perhaps. But the whole earth is going to be burnt with fire. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. So you certainly don't want to be a materialist. You don't want to put your stock in things. You want to live for the eternal, that which is going to last. Even Jesus said it like this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So even Jesus confirmed what John says here in verse 1 of chapter 21. And then we see John saying, verse 2, that he saw a holy city. It's a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Again, a new kind, a new quality of city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I believe and I'm convinced that this new city coming down adorned as a bride is what Jesus was referring to in John 14. I go to prepare for you a place. That this is the place he has prepared for us, and it is going to be amazing. You know, Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, says that he looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. That he wasn't really focused on this earth, that he was living for eternity. His life was marked by an altar, and it was marked by his faith, that he looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. I believe that as Christians, that from this passage we covered, that that's what should motivate us. We should look for a city whose maker and builder is God. People are always wanting to find the great place to live, where crime is low and schools are good and houses are nice and the cost of living is low and the air is clean and everything's the way they want it. You'll never find a utopia on earth. As believers, we're here to serve the Lord and not put our stock in the things of this earth and knowing that we'll all pass away. And even in our life, which will go by like a vapor of smoke, we're going to leave it all behind. One of the painful things about being a materialist is you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. The only thing you're going to take to eternity is those spiritual treasures that you lay up right now in serving Jesus Christ. So he sees this holy city. It's called the New Jerusalem. Hal Lindsey, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, calls it the New J. I like that. The New J, the New Jerusalem, is going to be coming down out of heaven from God. And it's going to be the abiding place of the saints throughout all the ages. Now, what does he mean by a bride adorned for her husband? There's some confusion here, and some people think that it's a reference to the church, that this is not the New Jerusalem, that it's actually the church descending with Christ. But I disagree, I believe, for several reasons that I don't have the time to develop right now, but that this is a reference to the New Jerusalem, referred to as the bride adorned for her husband. It's basically conveying the idea that like a bride who spends hours upon hours prepping to look just right for the wedding. You know, I do a lot of weddings being a pastor and have over the years, and it amazes me how early on the wedding day the bride starts getting ready for that event. If she's getting married in 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she gets up at 2 a.m. And the girls show up, and they spend 8 or 9 hours just putting the makeup on and preparing the hair and getting the dress, and everything is prepared. And no bride wants to be ugly on her wedding day. So it's conveying the idea that this new city is beautiful to behold. All the weddings that I've conducted, I've never seen an ugly bride. I've seen some grooms that need some help, but I've never seen an ugly bride. So this city is going to be glorious and beautiful as it descends out of heaven. And by the way, this is what we are looking for. We're looking for that home that the Lord has prepared for us in heaven. Now, from verse 3 down to verse 8, we see the new life. We see the first new heaven and earth, verses 1 and 2. Then in verse 3 down to verse 8, we answer the question, what will heaven be like? Now, let me say before I read these verses, when it comes to knowing what heaven is like, there's only one source, the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me and you. We should stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. I really don't put a lot of stock in these books where people say, I died, I went to heaven, and now I've written a book, and you can get it for $29.99 on Amazon, and I'll sign it for you, and it tells you all about heaven, what it's like. That's subjective. God's Word is objective truth. Even Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 12 was caught up into heaven, which, by the way, he called the third heaven. First heaven is above the earth where the birds fly. Second heaven is where the stars and sun and moon are. And the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. He was caught up to that third heaven. And he said, when I came back, he said, I couldn't even talk about it because I saw things that were amazing and it would be a crime to try to explain them and utter them. And speech is limited in the human realm to try to explain the eternal splendors and glories and majesties that await us, the children of God. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. We can never fathom or comprehend the glories of heaven. So let me give you some wise counsel. Whatever you believe about heaven, you get it from the Bible. You get it from the lips of Jesus. Don't be buying books about I died, went to heaven, and I want to tell you about it. Read what the Bible has to say. And we're going to see that a lot of what the Bible says about heaven is what heaven will not be like. So to tell us what heaven is like, it describes what won't be there and the characteristics that will be different and won't be happening. So let's read verse 3 to verse 8, and we'll go back and I'll note them for you. John says, I heard a great voice out of heaven, notice, out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne, and every time we see the throne, God is sitting on it. Behold, he makes all things new. There's our theme. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So Jesus is actually claiming to be the beginning and the ending. The beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh, that's a descriptive term for the believer, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, verse 8, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with brimstone and with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I want you to note these six characteristics, or excuse me, these six characteristics from these verses about heaven that the Bible makes clear. First of all, notice in verse 3, God will live and dwell with us. Now, we could just stop right here. Isn't that cool enough? What's heaven going to be like? God will be there. Can you dig that? I can dig that. God will actually dwell with us. Now, we just finished 1,000 years on earth co-reigning with Christ. Now we're in the eternal state, and we have God the Father and God the Son with us. How glorious is that? Notice verse 3, that behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Notice the word tabernacle. We get the idea of a tent or living in a tent. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel, God lived among them in the tabernacle, in the tent. And so glorious that was. But then in John 1:14, it tells us that the Word, Jesus Christ, pitched his tent among us, or tabernacled among us, took on flesh and tabernacled among us. God incarnate, God in the flesh. So God is going to actually be tabernacling with us, or dwelling with us during this glorious time. Let me point out the second characteristic of heaven is that it will be the land of no more. I call heaven the land of no more. Notice that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So there'll be the land of no more, no more tears. Now, a lot of people are puzzled by that. I've never been puzzled by it. It's funny, over the years, the questions people have asked me that I've always thought, I haven't told them, but I've always thought, that's a dumb question. Why think about that? We're in heaven. Who cares why he wipes away tears there? Some people say, I thought we wouldn't cry in heaven. I don't think that way. I don't worry about that. And some say, well, maybe we're crying tears of joy. Possibly, because we're in the presence of the Lord. Maybe we're crying because we realize that we should have done more to serve the Lord. I don't know. But all I do know is that he will wipe away every tear. I believe it's a figure of speech.
Jesus is right now preparing a place for you in heaven. It'll be so glorious you can't fathom it now. It will be an entirely new heaven and new earth. So, as you face yet another day on earth feeling like an exile, remember that this isn't your home. Pastor John reminded you that your eternal home is in heaven with God, who will dwell with you. There'll be no pain, suffering, or tears. How wonderful it will be to behold.
Today's teaching with Pastor John Miller was brought to you by Revival Christian Fellowship. Our desire at Revival Radio is to reach as many people with God's Word as possible, and your financial support continues to make this possible. We want to ask you to prayerfully seek the Lord about giving to Revival Radio, so the resources received will be used to expand this ministry's outreach onto more radio stations, like the one you're listening to today. And as the Lord leads you, please be faithful. We appreciate your prayer and financial support. You can give today by visiting our website at revival.tv/give. Again, to support Revival Radio and help us continue this good work, visit revival.tv/give.
Though exceedingly beautiful, God's original creation is marred by sin, both in the land and the people. Sin has left a shadow that simply won't go away. Yet one day, all will be made new, beautiful in ways you can't imagine. Creation today is only partially as radiant as heaven is. Pastor John will describe next time on Revival Radio the glories and beauty to come. It's simply too amazing to describe fully. There's much more to learn from Pastor John's series, The End of Time, so we invite you to tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.